Should we begin by praying? Our Father, we thank you for the joy of being able to open your word and to glean from it something, Father, for which we not only give glory, praise, honor, and worship to you, but also be something that would help us in our journey and our bread as we walk this life down here. Not an easy one, Father, but we know thou art our wisdom, thy true word. Yes, Father, you've made every provision for us, not only for down here, but for all eternity. So as we open this time, we pray, Father, that it would be you alone that presenting it, that is just being a mouthpiece. Please help me to treat it with all the reverence that we commit ourselves time to you and in the precious name of the Son of Christ. It was a beautiful village nestled in a valley, and that valley, the town was completely surrounded by majestic mountain peaks, snow-capped, and for all its beauty, artists, photographers, and lovers came to this particular location every year by the thousands. But for all of its idyllic scenery and everything, it did have one. It had one major flaw, and that is that there was only one road going in and out. The possibility of rock slides, avalanches, hairpin turns, steep inclines and declines made it somewhat of a hazardous journey for those who would want to be there. And after one particularly bad year, the city fathers actually got together and decided to do something about it. And so what they did was they put up a bunch of signs. You know, hairpin turn, slow down, rock slide ahead, avalanche warning, and all the things that and the perils that go along with that particular road. And it did work to a certain extent. But still, nonetheless, there are an awful lot of people who succumb to the various kinds of tragedies and difficulties of the road. City fathers got together again and put a state-of-the-art trauma center at the base of it. As you enter into it, the village. Welcome to the book of Proverbs. You know, we've been going through an exhaustive study of sin. Don't know about you, but whether it be something heinous or whether it be something subtle, it doesn't make any difference. There are consequences and there are issues and there are problems. And I've often asked myself, why in the world can't there be a big, huge sign that says, by the way, trouble ahead, problems. This is how to avoid them. Welcome to the book of Proverbs, because in a sense, that's what this book is all about. It's a big, huge warning. Some sage once said that it's heavenly wisdom for an earthly people. It's also a pretty good signal to those of us who are fathers. Just think, if you had children, especially sons, and all of a sudden you wanted to impart upon him some kind of knowledge and wisdom that might prevent him from succumbing to the various problems that life has to offer. And Satan is ever busy. But the wisest men in the world who wrote most of these particular proverbs attempted, in a sense, to write a letter to his children or to his son, saying, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb, interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, God doesn't place a big, huge, accolade for instruction. Now, most of us, and I'm looking over here, and every single one of you probably have a Bible. Most of you probably have some kind of a college degree. Some of you are very accomplished in the work that you do, and yet at the same time, it's nothing more than knowledge. And yet beyond that is to be able to understand why in the world it is that you're learning and how to apply it. And yet it even goes even further, and that is wisdom. An ever-increasing ability to take what we read, what we learn, to understand why, and to be able to apply it to the life that we have down here. Knowledge is in nothing short, it's to be aware. Now, I'm not going to ask for hands as to how many people here can read. Not going to ask for hands as to how many people have gone beyond just the schooling that they have received, they're here or there. But just a reminder that rote knowledge that you have is just a beginning. Christian life is a school, and it begins somewhere. And we're so very thankful that we have in our hands right now something called a Bible. And the Proverbs, again, are one of several wisdom books. Not just to give you knowledge. That's all you're interested in. A good chance that whatever's left over is going to be a hazard. It's not just understanding. Oh, I may be able to pass a test. I may be able to do whatever is required of me in order to get the grade. But when you stop and think about it, when you actually get out to use it and you practice it, there's something completely different. It's to be able to have enough wisdom and be wise enough to use it in a way that would not only be a benefit to others, but also to yourself. Now, I wish I could say that Solomon was a perfect person. He wasn't. But yet the words that he gave us are nothing more than, I can use the word, to get wisdom. Don't get just understanding. Don't just get knowledge. If we were to turn over to Proverbs 23:26, it's kind of an interesting verse. My son, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, that's kind of an interesting concept, but, you know, every single one of us as parents, if you were to write a letter to your children, and you were to try to warn them of the circumstances and the issues, then this is the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, chapter a day, the whole month. But just keep in mind that if all you do is just read it to them, and if all they do is just read it, then there's a good chance that they're going to miss out. There has to be a heart's connection with all of this. It's where all of a sudden we begin to realize that there's something more to just what we're learning. It has something to do with the characteristic of life itself. And though I'll not try to tell our elders here, I hope that every single one of us would realize that as fathers, as an assembly, we need to put up all these warning signs. We need to have all these particular characteristics of what could happen, and yet at the same time be able to pick up the pieces when somebody does fail. Aaron, I can tell you, of having had six children, it wasn't an easy job. But this much I know is that by attempting to inculcate some of these principles we're going to be reading in the book of Proverbs, it's enough to tell us that our children are a blank slate, and what it is that we put into their head and from where we get it is very important. They're going to learn stuff in their schools that are something that we aren't exactly going to like. But having said that, it's our job as parents. It's our job, those of us who teach, to try to get people to realize that there is something of a warning. And regardless of whether you look at the sins that we've been looking at for the past several months or whatever, there are consequences. And again, I have to say, welcome to the book of Proverbs, because you not only get knowledge, you not only get understanding, you not only get wisdom, but you also get the consequences. And you also get the remedy. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, don't consent with it. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that it. We shall find all precious substance, fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us have one purpose. My son, walk not thou in the way with us. Refrain foot from their path. There are influences out there. Those influences are such that they could lead to a downfall. They could lead to a straying path. Every time I read the Pilgrim's Progress and I read of Christian going down the road, and I see him going through the Slough of Despond, and I see the lions and all the treacherous things that he faced on his journey to a heavenly home, stop and remember that we are very fortunate in that we have God's precious word to guide us, to help us. And if you look around the room, I hope you see people of character, those who are willing, not just as parents, but as those who have a genuine love and care for those that are here. That we make some effort to try to make warnings, and yet at the same time, in this day of grace and in this day of mercy, I hope it's to the point where we not only recognize that there are circumstances for which we may not have total amount of control over, but this much I know is that I am my brother's keeper, and it's my responsibility, and it's also your responsibility to look at those who are going through those trials and difficulties, their Slough of Despond, and hopefully be willing to make up to help them. I don't like the idea of having somebody come along beside me and telling me what to do, but what's required of us. I never liked disciplining my children. I never liked it because, no, you see something for which you see an end result that might be perilous to them. something for which they would probably find extremely difficult in their later life. And yet here we are, attempting to pick up those pieces. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for them, for their own blood, for they lurk privily for their own. So are the ways of every one of greedy gain, which takes away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom cries out, she utters her voice in the street, she cries in the chief places of the concourse. In the opening of the gates in the city, she utters her words, saying, how long, simple ones, will you love some? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate. You know, sometimes negative ministry doesn't always sound great, but this is a dire warning for us all. I'd like to think that after, oh, hey, guess what? I'm going to be 75. I can honestly look back over my life and I can see a number of pitfalls that I've gone through, and I can say I wish I could do it all over again, and yet I have to honestly admit the influences and circumstances that my life has gone through, I can honestly tell you it hasn't been an easy life, but it's a school. You mentioned that earlier. It's a school in which we begin. The time that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in a school, and it doesn't end until we go to be in glory. And during all that particular time, God is teaching, telling, warning. You and I are teaching, telling, warning, whether it be our children or other children or those that are about us, of whom we have a great care for. That's what a shepherd does. We bind up the wounds. We comfort the feeble. We help those who are going through trials. This much I know, that not going to end until the Lord returns. Maybe you've gotten the impression through this letter that this father is attempting to reach to his son in hopes of trying to prevent the fall, to prevent the pathway that would lead to destruction. The path that could make shipwreck. You know, I wish I could say that everything that Proverbs says is easy to read. It isn't. But now a word to the sons. Turn you at my reproof. 23. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it not. All my counsel and none my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when it comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me daily, early, but they shall find me. For they that hated knowledge, not choose the Lord. None of us have an excuse. I look at some of the young children that are here, and I hope that it sinks down into your mind right now that the instruction that your mother and your father give you are for your benefit. The Sunday school teacher that tries to inculcate some of this information into your knowledge that you would somehow look at it as being something that is seriously to be taken. Don't despise it. In Hebrews, it tells us that we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. And yet, there's a second part of it that is almost hard to say. Does anybody know what a scourge is? Otherwise known as a cat of nine tails, it's a whip. Got strips of leather and in it are metal, bone, and it's used to beat people. The Lord Jesus was whipped. The Apostle Paul was whipped. It wasn't an easy thing to look upon. And yet, when you stop to think about it, the Lord has his warnings, but there are also consequences. Those consequences can sometimes not just be slap on the wrist, it could be something far worse. As a pharmacist, I have attempted over the years to try to teach people diabetes education, only to find out that after the initial treatment, they find themselves going back into the same pattern. And I hope that as we read these words, as we somehow look at the counsel that Solomon is trying to give to his son, that it would be wisdom for us as well. Don't despise it. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise whenever he brings things into your life. Don't despise whenever your father attempts to correct behavior. Don't despise the counsel of wise brothers and sisters in Christ that we know to be living a godly life. All of those, God's helpful little warning signs to try to get us through. And I'm always rejoicing whenever I see a child walking in a way that not only honors his parents, but also is commensurate with the person of Christ. Because in a sense, that's the ultimate goal, whether we realize it or not, and that is that God has a plan and a purpose for you, and that purpose and plan is to make you just like Jesus Christ. And I know maybe I've probably said this, that it's so much that it's become trite, but Jesus Christ was such a great example that God wanted to populate heaven with people just like him. That's how much God thought of his son. And that's how much he thinks of you. He's not going to quit, and he's not going to stop, and he's going to continue to do whatever is necessary for you to be just like his son. For when we see him, we're going to be like him, for we're going to see him as he is. Our time is almost up, but let's finish it. Then would they none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet. Fear. We have an all the way home Savior. I've mentioned this on a couple of occasions. Jesus Christ isn't going to let you go. He's not going to stop. He's not going to give up on you. And the fact that we have this eternal security is something for which we really need to be thankful for, to know that he is not going to quit. He's not going to stop. And he's going to continue to do whatever is necessary for you to hear those words. Well done, good servant. But just like at the beginning, we have warning signs. We have hospitals they'll pick up the pieces. And we have a mandate. That is, as a father, parents, we need to tell our children, we need to warn our children, we need to warn each other that there are pitfalls out there for which could possibly lead to a disaster. Whether you want to call it subtle sins or whether they be so heinous that somehow or another we wonder how anyone can ever do it, just keep in mind that the same warnings are there. And you and I are responsible in order to inculcate those with each other, to hold us each accountable, to look at each other in such a way that, yes, I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am responsible, not just for my family, but for those that are around me. And yes, we live in a day of grace and a day of mercy, and for which I am so terribly thankful. Because you see, just as God doesn't give up, we don't give up on each other either. I hope that as we go through the book of Proverbs, we realize that we have this wonderful book in our hands. One of the wisdom books, of course, is Proverbs, but there are many others. And yet, second verse of our hymn, Thou My Wisdom. When we get to chapter 8, we're going to find out that there's a personification. Proverbs, but it sounds an awful lot like Savior Jesus Christ. I was by him, one brought up with me. Yep. Okay. Trying to remember it. I now was daily his delight, and my thoughts were with the sons of men. We have a wonderful Savior, one who loved us so much as he was willing to get whipped. He was willing to take upon himself our sin, our grief, our sadness, and everything else that's in between, and yet provide for us a home and glory. And that's something for which we, I don't know, be thankful for every day, every minute. And remember that we have a Savior all the way through all the issues that we have. I would hope that this wouldn't go too much further, but don't despise the Bible. Don't despise those who are teaching. Don't despise the ministry that is given to you. Don't despise the counsel of wise men, women. Don't despise those things for which you're being taught. Somehow or another, you might understand that the desire of all of us is to get home. And that's a wonderful home for which we so much to be. No, I don't go there because I want to see streets of gold and pearly gates. There to see the Savior, the one who loved me. Yes, we have some prayer matters. Sorry, is it going to be brought up? Huh?